why don't you all stand and let's pray before. Heavenly Father, holy is your name. You are worthy of honor, glory, and praise. With a word, you created the universe. It is by only you that our world is upheld. You formed everything. You created a way for us through Christ. Nothing is possible for you. Nothing is impossible for you. You are alone holy. You are alone worthy of honor. You alone are worthy of praise, Lord. In the name of Jesus, I praise and honor you. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, our Lord and Savior. Amen. Please take a seat. Shalom to everyone. Shalom.
Shalom, shalom.
So I thought this morning let's go into the Bible, right? Let's open our Bible to Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18. If you got your Bibles in your phones, or you have foot-breaking Bibles, you can open this too. I'll tell you what happened about this in a minute. So Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18. It is relevant to know that Paul was requesting prayer from his community. Right? Let's read about why he did that. And pray in the spirit of all occasions, with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. Pray also for me, that whenever I speak, words may be given to me, so that I will fearlessly make known the mysteries of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it fearlessly as I should. So my request this morning for you, we are going to lift our flight. So it's going to be a bumpy journey. And you need to strap your seatbelt, because there can be a turbulence in my preaching today. So I'm asking you to fearlessly open your hearts. Okay? If anyone had an excuse not being involved in evangelism, it's Paul. He says to his community, pray for me that the utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly and to speak as I ought to. If we are Christians, if we are followers of Jesus Christ, do you know what Jesus said? Jesus said, come after me, I will make you become fishers of men. You see, sometimes I find effective place I found witnessing people is on planes. You get on a plane, get someone inside the plane, wait till you are strapped in, wait till you are 25,000 feet up, start talking to the person next to you. If they get offended, you say, there's the door, then leave. Go on. Because I remember once I was, years ago, I was sitting in a plane waiting to take off. And woman next to me, and I thought I should witness to this woman. So I console myself in the fact that the previous night I ministered 2,000 young people. So God is not asking me to do face to one on one to one. Then I said, sat back, but my conscience began to smite me. And then I began thinking, imagine if I was on my way to hell and I didn't know it, and this woman was a Christian and she shouldn't be bothered of witnessing to me because she was fearful. So I turn around to her and trying to open my mouth boldly and try to speak to her, I noticed she has gone to sleep. So I said to God, she's gone to sleep. I shouldn't wake up. I sat back and I was asked for a drink, orange juice. And I kept my orange juice on the tray. And all of a sudden, the tray fell off. And it hit my foot. And all of a sudden, I choked with a cube of ice. Then I threw a book. I was reading John Bunyan's Pilgrim's Progress. I don't know if you have read that one. I threw that on the foot of the woman, and she woke up. Then I said, I'm so sorry. Sorry about that. Then I showed the book and asked her, like, have you read this? Have you read this book? She said, yes, I have read the book. So I thank God that time I wasn't reading the normal book which will break her leg. So if you have trouble in witnessing, listen what the wonderful statement, which is not an original. So let me read this for you. An act of courage isn't necessary done by those who feel brave when they do it. True courage is he who feels fear and yet does it anyway. An act of courage isn't necessary done by those who feel brave when they do it. True courage is he who feels fear and yet does it anyway. Courage is in the absence of fear, as I have it here. It's the conquering of it. So now let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 1 to 3, and look at some of the keys that we could release the fear of men and the fear of women. 1 Corinthians 2, verses 1 and 3. I'm really adamant this morning, if somebody who wants to become witness for Christ should have these four qualities. If they don't have these four qualities, they shouldn't be witnessing. So let me read for you. And so it was with me, brothers and sisters, I came to you. I did not come with eloquence or human wisdom as I proclaim to you the testimony about God, for I resolved to know nothing while I was with you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. I come to you in weakness, with great fear and trembling. So these are the four qualifications for being a witness for Christ. One, you should not have eloquence of speech. Two, you should have weakness. Three, you should have fear. Four, you should have much trembling. Now, do you qualify? Not ordinary trembling, but it says much trembling. If you are sitting here saying, boy, I never want to get up on a soapbox and preach in public. I couldn't approach strangers. I just wouldn't know what to say. I don't have the words. I'm really scared. If you look at the Bible verse, it says, you are qualified. Paul says, it says in the verse 2, there is nothing matters, but for Paul it is this. For I determine not to know anything about you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. If you and I can just determine to say, oh Lord, I don't know what to say. I am scared, I am silly, I have weakness, fear, much trembling. But I know you are the God, because you crucified yourself on the cross for me. That's what I want to preach. That's what we need to preach. That's the only thing matters to God. I heard a barber who went for a heard an equipping evangelist. He went for some sessions and he came back and he thought, man, I have not been true faithful witness. I have not opened my mouth boldly and spoke out. So he determined with himself, the next person who comes to his barbershop, he's going to witness him. So this man came in to his barbershop and he said, hey, shave this beard for me, will you? He sat on the street. The barber thought, okay, this is it. And he was really scared. And he turned his back and as good old olden days, you sharpen the cutthroat blade. And he psyched himself, turned around with gazed eyes and trembling hand and said to the person, friend, are you ready to die? Of course, he opened his mouth, but he lost his customer. But he opened his mouth for the kingdom of God. Didn't he? Because John Wesley said this, get on fire for God and the people will come to watch you burn. You see, I don't want to be the light, a bright spot in the kingdom of God. I want to be towering inferno. Now, as you see, Pastor Dave has speaking about the lighthouse. Good old days, the lighthouse, like modern days, they didn't have the electricity. They had the fire. So you have to be burning fire. That's why your light has to radiate. Because you have the seal already in your heart. That's what the Revelation wants us. It says, it says in Revelation chapter 3, verse 14 to 16, it says, I know your deeds, that you are neither cold nor hot. I wish you were either one or the other. So, because you are lukewarm, neither nor hot nor cold. And it says in the next verse, Jesus says, I am about to spit you out of my mouth. Because we can't be hanging either hot or cold. You can't be either. We have to be a firing, burning inferno, a tower. Because lukewarmness is a great insult to God. While I was sitting there, I was looking at my ring. Yesterday, Tristan was fiddling with my ring. I don't know where he put it. So I was looking this morning, I couldn't find it. But I have a wonderful wife, I think some of you have met. I love her dearly. Imagine if I called Ashi and said, "Hi, love. Just the thought, I call you and let you know I wasn't missing you at all. The love letter that you sent me, fell asleep reading it. It's getting too boring to carry on. Got to go now, dear. Bye." What an insult for her. What an insult for God, because we made a promise in front of God, in sickness and in health, and until the death parts us, we are going to be in eternity to each other. It's the same for us, for God. If you are lukewarm in your faith, you are not insulting anybody else. You are insulting God. You are insulting Jesus, who died on the cross for each and every one of you today. So don't be lukewarm. So I thought, before we get into my 3 points this morning, I haven't said any points yet. So if I do that in the morning, let me invite Rory, who got inspired with one of my preaching today, last time, and he wrote a song. So let's listen to what he wrote in that song, all right? So give him a round of applause, and he's going to sing for us.
Good morning, church. Thank you, Chris. So I think it's fantastic how we can inspire each other here as a community, as a family. This morning I was very flattered and honored that Grant actually came up to me and said that, he said, "You've inspired me and Gaynor to wear hats." And I thought, okay. He said, "Because you and Taryn always wear hats." And I thought, that's good. That sounds smart. And fashion, you know, like, I've never really been a person for fashion. Coming from Signet, I used to arrive in Sydney visiting my relatives, and I'd be like, "Hey!" And they'd be like, "Is that him?" Anyway, so we can inspire each other as a church family. A few months ago, Chris inspired me with his sermon, and it was quite humorous. I didn't catch it all because I was in the car park chatting to Baz. And then I came in right on time, and Chris said some really humorous, funny words and wise words. And I just love the wisdom. Who likes the wisdom in the Bible?
Yes.
Yeah. Who thinks that God's got a sense of humor?
Yes. Yeah.
And I just love some of those words, like in Proverbs, where it says, "If you loudly bless your neighbor, it will be taken as a curse." Yes. And I always think of like Ned Flanders and Homer Simpson. It's like, "Hey, neighbor, God bless you." And it's like, yeah. So I'll play this song. Now, I will need a little bit of audience participation. Has anyone here had more than 8 hours sleep? Nobody? Anyone have more than 6 hours sleep last night? Yeah. Okay. I might need more people than that. I'll just get all of you to do it. I was going to divide you into three groups, less than five, more than six. So I just would love you, church, if when I sing this, if you can just sort of echo me. Wherever. That's good. Okay, so it's going to go wherever, whenever, and at the end, whatever. So you can be as deadpan as you like with the whatever. But the first two ones, pretend that you've had 8 hours sleep. Are we ready? Wherever. Whenever.
Whenever.
Whatever.
Whatever.
Yeah, that's good. Okay. Let's go. So I actually played this song last year at the Grade 10 Leavers Dinner, Southern Christian College. I'm a teacher there. Great school if you've got kids and you're looking to send them somewhere down south. I played it at the Grade 10 Leavers Dinner, and the parents thought it was kind of funny. The Grade 10s didn't really like it that much, I don't think, but anyway. There's nothing quite as cringy as a teacher with a guitar up there hogging the microphone, wishing he was a star. So I'll keep it short and snappy. Short and snappy keeps crowds happy. I'll keep it short and snappy, tra-la-la. Some people bring happiness wherever they go. Some people bring happiness wherever they go. The difference really matters, be the former, not the latter. The difference really matters, you so-and-so. Now some people love to tell you about all that they've achieved, and if you accidentally yawn, they probably get quite peeved. And then you try to tell them about something that you've done. They say, sorry mate, I'm running late, I've got to run. Some people bring happiness wherever they go. Some people bring happiness whenever they go. The difference really matters, be the former, not the latter. The difference really matters, you so and so. Wherever, whenever, whatever. Here we go. Now some people aren't Christians because they've never met a Christian. And some people aren't Christians because they have met a Christian. Some people talk and never listen, like they're on a mandated mission. And some people simply aren't worth listening to. Some people bring happiness wherever they go. Some people bring happiness whenever they go. The difference really matters, be the former, not the latter. The difference really matters, you so and so. Wherever, whenever, whatever. Whatever, Rory. Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you, sir.
And thank you, Chris, for the inspiration.
Why don't give him a round of applause again? Thanks, Rory. Thank you so much. So as I said, we are going to have a bumpy road. Anyway, so I'm happy that he got the inspiration. Always remember, the inspiration not comes from me, it comes from the above. Amen. Somebody said amen.
Amen.
So this morning, I will help you, help God, that I trust we are going to look at the three keys to getting on fire for God. And the first key is in Romans 15 verse 13. Romans 15 verse 13. The first key we are going to look at is the key of faith. I know that some might have a condescending nausea when it comes to a preacher comes in front of you and talk about faith again. Here we go again. Faith? But anyway, I'm going to look at in a slightly different way about faith, but basing on the text we have this morning. So let me read it for you. May God of hope fill you with joy and peace as you trust Him, so that you may overflow with hope by power of the Holy Spirit. By the power of the Holy Spirit. Let me be real with you. A couple of months ago, myself and Dashi decided to go to a test lottery. And so, like, there is a lottery ticket which gives $1 million. And then I thought to my conscience, like, no, we shouldn't be doing that. Then imagine, like, if you would have won, I have $1 million with me. I'll give each one $1 million if you like it. If you truly believe that you are getting $1 million this morning, right? You'll have the smiling face, the joy comes in, $1 million, finally, I'm getting $1 million, I can pay my mortgage. And I can get, take all the debts away. Or somebody might do it like me, I can get a jacuzzi in my prayer room. So if you believe that, I haven't got one. If you believe that, you'd have joy immediately, right? You're getting $1 million. If you didn't believe, anyway, it's another ticket. Okay, so no faith, no joy. And that's the reality for our Christian life. Sometimes something happens in your life and you plead to God, why God this happened to me? It's happening to me day in, day out. You complain about God. Look at Job. He has so much of faith. But for us, sometimes it's like that. We don't have joy of being Christians. When we don't have joy, there is no energy. Right? When you don't have an energy, you have fear. When you have fear, you can't witness God because you don't have the firing, burning seal, like burning in your heart to go and speak about God to a stranger. Right? So, what we should do, as if we were singing this morning, I was very pleased, like, it says, like, you know, we are going to be in the new kingdom. We are going to have a new, brand new bodies. And the world is coming to us, to this earth. The kingdom of God is coming to us again. So we need to have joy. If you don't have joy, you will feel like, okay, there will be deaths, there will be diseases, there is a decay, and there is dandruff. Praise God. But when kingdom comes down to this earth, there is no more death, no more decay, no more dandruff. Even the eyes not have seen, no ears heard, neither is entered into the heart of man, because everything will be perfect. Sometimes I do this mock funeral service when I do street ministry. So in my previous church, I had a group who was doing the street ministry. So I took like six and asked them to wear the undertaker's dress, black dress, white shirt, black tie, black shoes, dark glasses. And I asked one of a guy or a lady to lie on the ground. So we go on the street And we are going in a parade like this, go to the CBD and ask them to stand around the dead body who's lying there, and we cover the body with the white sheet, right? Then I'll go around and arrange their ties and their, what do you call, the jackets and all that. And then when I turn around this way, I see 150 people like gazing at us like, what the hell is going on here? You see, sometimes you must have seen this as well. When it comes to death, right, there is no difference between a Christian and non-Christian is coming to a church. And the preacher who is standing there sharing the word of God, right, and says Jesus is the life. And you must have sit next to a person who is a non-Christian, but he or she is happy to listen to you. Why? Because death has something to tell us. Right? I know it's hard for you to listen to me right now, but that's the reality. It doesn't matter you love Jesus or you don't love God. You still come to a church because your loved one died, right? But you still come and listen to the preacher who talks about God. Right? That's the reality of it. But what happens to us as a Christians? Sometimes the promise that God gave you when you become a Christian. Like, I'm so happy that one of our members in the church this morning, don't know whether he's shown right now, they're shown. So he's the testimony. Like, he was struggling his life and he decided to get baptized. He has so much of joy right now. Like, we were talking, like, few groups, myself, Sarah, and Vicky. We were talking up there last week. And so much joy he has it when he accepts Jesus into him. But what happens in our lifetime sometimes? Our joy goes down little by little. Because that joy is starting to disappear. Right? If you think about the day that you were baptized, so much joy, you must have a party or something. I remember I didn't worry about God at all 20 years ago. Right? I was happy, nothing to worry about God and all that. But I felt something bad. Something was triggering me again. Because what happened to me at the age of 12, I don't know whether you remember me, I was sharing when I preached the first in this church. At the age of 12, I had a major accident. I was walking across the road in Sri Lanka, where I was growing that time. And there was a big youth came me and knocked me down. And I thought I will be dead. I was in a coma for 3 months. I'm the only child to the family. And I don't know, there was a preacher came. I just, like, just after 3 months, I was just opened my mouth. Like, then this missionary pastor read John chapter 14, verse 19. The latter part of it he was reading, and then it says, because I live, you also shall live. That struck me really hard in my heart. I almost died at the age of 12. But I'm standing here right now, praise God, and I have a joy to share that testimony with you and say, thank you, Jesus. That's what you need to do. You need to share your own testimony to your friends, who is your neighbor next door, who is happy with his life or her life and doesn't worry about God at all. And some are doing that. I want you to continue to do that Because that's what the evangelist does. You don't worry about the, you don't see sometimes the harvest, but you see your seed is planted in your neighbor's heart. So I'm crying. I am almost crying. Like, I'm really happy that you guys can do that. And there are people out there who wants to do that. You can do it. Because as Dave was talking about last week, you are the light. You are the light. So my first point this morning is faith. Don't lose that faith. So number of years ago, I was an assistant pastor. I was in a Baptist church. I was an assistant pastor. Then we had a guest speaker on Sunday. I heard a loud noise in the foyer of the church. I said I should go out there and see what's going on. So I see a big man standing there, like 6 feet. As you see, I'm vertically challenged. That's right. So he fussed himself, and I walk up to him, and he said, like, "Get me Maria." I said, "Okay, quick, get Maria." And I didn't realize it, that this guy was living together, this lady, Maria. But what happened to him was, since Maria accepted Jesus, she felt that I'm doing something wrong. Maria kicked this person out of the house. Throw everything out, shut his door. "I don't want to live with you anymore. I want to live with Christ." But this man asked me to bring Maria. So I bring Maria. And Maria came. And this bloke, like, he arranged his fist. And his fist went through me. I hit the ground. Maria hit the ground too. Then I didn't know what to do it. Then Darcy heard the noise and came running. And Darcy said, "Don't you dare touch my husband." But she was trembling. She was tiny too. This guy is 6 feet. And then I got up and I asked Maria to get inside the church. I see he's arranging the fist again. And he couldn't do it because Dashi was there. And he hit the wall so hard, the wall collapsed. I mean, that's what sometimes as Christians these days, we need to do that. We need to stand in between God and the others. If you stand on the truth, that's where the perfect love comes to us from God. So, first key is faith. So the faith produces joy. The joy produces physical energy. Okay. I think I'm running out. Anyway, I need to be quickly said the other two keys. So the second key to getting on fire for God is the motivating force is the love for God. Love for God. I think I already said that. Love for God. And today, there's someone in our midst who's a great writer. Before I share my third point, let me ask Martin, why don't you come and read your poem, which is about compassion? Can someone give him a mic?
Hello. This was written in response to an incident next door a couple of weeks ago. Slow sacrifice. He's the most wanted criminal in town, hotly pursued by the machinery of state. His victim's blood freshly spilt on concrete. He is 13 years old. Tell me that this place doesn't need some good news, where a child is slowly sacrificed to Moloch, tender mind, body and soul caught in fire. The roof over his head is hell. No bedtime story for him. They were just too busy. Busy brooding, screaming and punching. Sleepless. He can only listen. There are only victims here. One fighting in a hospital bed. The other waiting in a remand cell. We pray for them all. Dear Lord God, watch over these people. Open hearts that are firmly closed. Reach down and lift repentant souls away into the embrace of your Son, Jesus Christ. It is in his name we pray. Amen.
So I don't want to go in detail, thanks Martin, again, like what happened a few weeks ago at the Harris Scarf. So he wrote a poem about that. And then he's giving, praying in that poem about what had happened. Right, so my second point is hope. And my third point, come to my third point. It's compassion. Let's look at Revelation 20:11, chapter 20, verse 11. Now here is the picture of the judgment day. So brace yourself. Then I saw the great white throne on him and him who was seated on it. The earth and the heavens fled from his presence, and there was no place for them. And I saw the dead, great and small, standing before the throne. And books were opened. Another book was opened, which is the book of life. The dead were judged according to what they had done, as recorded in the books. Imagine that you are walking on the street and a large building is being built. And you see there's 50 stores, and the people who are there testing the elevator. So you see the elevator comes down 50, 49, 48, 47. As you look in the bottom of it, of the elevator, you see a little gap. On the ground floor of the elevator shaft, there's a little gap of about 14 inches. You see there were two little kids were playing under that. Right? You see them and you get the horror feeling like it's coming down the elevator now. What's going to happen to these two kids? So you motivate by your compassion, motivate by your love for them, you run into them, and while you are running to them, you have another double thought and saying, oh, I shouldn't do that. I shouldn't get them out of that because they are my strangers. Or you can grab them and save them. That sort of a compassion we need to have for non-Christians, those who don't believe in God. You might have a neighbor at the next door who's happy and they are doing best. You don't have that, you don't have this, but they are enjoying their life with the full happiness. And you see they are happy. No, they are all alone. So as for us, since we have the compassion from God who showed that on the cross, you need to show compassion to your neighbor or to your loved one or your family. So where can you start it? Start from your family. Start from your family. Then talk to your neighbor. You can do that. It's simple as that. You can just invite your next door neighbor for a coffee or tea and ask who he is or who, how she is. That's where your compassion comes. Don't preach to them. Don't share any gospel passages. Just invite them to your home. Or if he or she feels safe, go to a coffee shop. That's where your compassion needs to happen. So I pray for all of you this morning, if can, our worship team can come now. For you this morning, that you are being the light of the world. You need to be the light of the world. You can do that, just simple as that. I see every day when I walk outside this building, there are people out there who need Jesus. You don't have to do much. Just go and listen to their story. Just say, this is so and so, this is me, my name is that. Just have a small conversation. You will see the miracle happen. That's what Grant was talking in this morning. We want to see the miracles happen in this city. And you are part of it. It's not my duty. You are also part of it. So we will talk about this in next time in our Vision Sunday. So why don't you all stand and praise and honor the name of Jesus, because he is great, because he is love, and because his name is above everything. I want you to close your eyes and think about your family right now. In your family, the person that needs to hear Jesus, the word of God in your family. Remember them right now. And if you know a neighbor who needs Jesus in their hearts, pray for them right now. Because we want to see the miracles happen. Because God is awesome. God is the healer of everything. And God can make the miracles. Bring that thought into God right now. Or if you don't know anybody, pray for the person next to you. That we will get the fire in our hearts burned today before we go out. And you are not coming just here just to say, thank you, God. Thank you for this day. And what time is it? I need to go right now. No. If you truly love God, if you have the fire in your heart, if you are the light, if you want to carry the light of Jesus into the hearts of the people in your community, in your family, and in your loved ones, pray to Jesus right now and say, make me, Jesus, your vessel. I will honor and praise your name.
Nowhere is the fear when my King resurrects. Nowhere is the doubt when my King conquered death. I I see walls shaking and I hear doubt running. Is my God on His way? Yes, He is coming. I see joy rising. I hear hope calling. I see fear hiding. I hear chains falling. I see walls shaking. I hear doubt running. Is my God on His way? Yes, He is coming.
Now here.
Now here.
Now here.
Now here.
Now here in His presence, my shame disappears. Now here.
Now here.
Now here.
Now here.
I stand undefeated when Jesus is near. Now here.
Now here.
Now here.
Now here.
Now here in His presence, my shame disappears. Now here. Stand undefeated when Jesus is near.
We want to hear from you, Jesus. I want to be the son and daughter I used to be. I'm struggling. I have my pains, my aches and fears, and I have my weaknesses. But right now, Jesus, I come to You because You are the great healer, miracle worker, and promise keeper, lighting the darkness so that I can look after You and say, thank You, Lord Jesus, for giving me the gift of life and accepting me, the son and daughter in Your kingdom. Let's accept that and say to Jesus, Amen. Amen. Praise You, Jesus. Thank You, Lord. Let's raise your hands and say, thank You, Lord. I believe You, Jesus, right now. My pains will go away. My sicknesses will go away. And I will get the healing from You, Jesus, because You live inside of me. I will be the bright shining in the darkness, that You will heal me right now. Whatever the things that you are going through right now, let this blood of Jesus heal you. That His word says, my yoke is easy to carry. You don't have to worry so much about it, but bring that to Jesus, because His blood will purify whatever it is that you are hanging inside of your heart, inside your body, or the physical pain. If anyone needs a prayer right now, you're most welcome to come. Some of our team will pray for you. As you are praying, offer your life to Jesus again. Offer your life to Jesus, because miracles will happen in this church. I believe in that, and you believe in that. The only thing we can say to God is, Jesus, right now, we want to be the vessel. We want to carry that light to each and every one in the community, and let us be the light to our community, our family. Make me an instrument of Your peace. If you want to say the prayer right now, say to Jesus this: thank You, Jesus. You have given a life for me. You accept me as a sinner. Right now, I come to You. Wipe all my weaknesses, all my difficulties and trouble. I believe I will accept You till I depart from this life. In the name of Jesus, Amen.